By Christmas Eve, 1914, the First World War had raged across Europe for nearly 5 months. The grim reality of a hard war began to set in. Both sides began carving out trenches across the Eastern and Western fronts. They prepared for a war that had no end in sight. The Western Front extended for hundreds of miles through France and Belgium, protecting the heart of France from an invading German-led army. Life in the trenches was bleak. Soldiers on both sides were at the mercy of a bitter European winter. Supplies and morale were dwindling. There was insufficient medical care, and the enemy trenches were often only 100 feet from their own fortified positions. The distance between the opposing trenches, referred to as no man's land, was littered with the bodies of the deceased from both sides. To step into this space meant to step into nearly certain death. It was against this backdrop that on a moonlit night and a frost-covered ground, the unexpected occurred. It was something that defied the cold realities of war and would have a lasting impact on all those involved and even beyond.
Well, once again, Merry Christmas. Hey, as we get started, why don't we give Jesus a great praise, celebrate him in a big way. Come on, it's his birthday. Come on. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, listen, once again, thank you. We're honored that you would be here. I want to share with you for just a few minutes before we continue on with the remainder of the service. And to celebrate Christmas in a big way, as a church family, we wanted every household to leave with a gift today. And so on your way out, in just a little bit, we're going to have an olive wood ornament for every household to take with you. The olive wood is direct from Bethlehem. So we thought, what a cool way to connect what happened 2,000 years ago to our celebration here today. So we're so glad that you are here. Hey, listen, if you are joining us for the first time, you're new here at Echo, we actually have two more things in store for you. Let me just share them with you real quick. Whenever we're finished up, if you head out to the lobby, and there'll be a lot going on, and we'll share all that with you. But if you head out to the guest services kiosk, we actually have a t-shirt that we'd love to give you, just an Indiana Echo t-shirt as a way of saying thanks and Merry Christmas from us. Also, we'd like to give a gift in your honor today. Let me tell you a little bit of what I mean by that. Inside your worship guide, there is a new here card, and that's so that we can get to know you a little bit. Here in just a little while, when the offering goes through, you don't have to put anything in the offering except for that card. And here's what we're going to do. There's an organization called Convoy of Hope that we support, and they help get food, great food, clean water, to those most in need, both here in America and around the world. And so for every new here card that we get, we will sponsor a child for a month. And so whether you want to fill one out together as a family, or you have husband and wife and aunt and uncle and grandma and grandpa fill one out, for every new here card we get, we're going to make a donation to Convoy of Hope in your honor, okay? And so I want to encourage you at some point over the next few minutes, fill out that new here card, and we'll have you drop it in the offering here in just a little bit, okay? Drop in that card, stop by and grab your gift. This morning, I want to share just a special message that I think all of us can put right to use this Christmas. And I think it comes at a good time, not only at Christmas, but also of what's happening in America. It's been an interesting week here in America, to say the least. And I love history. I don't know about you, but I read history quite a bit. And there's long been a story that has moved me. It's a true story that took place in 1914 in World War I. Let me give you a little bit of history of what happened before what you saw there on the screen. 105 years ago, there was a war sparked by the assassination of a man named Franz Ferdinand. He was a prince. He was the Archduke of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And whenever he was killed, the Austrians blamed it on Serbia. The Austrians blamed it on Serbia. Well, in the ensuing days, Austria declared war on Serbia. Most people don't really think about or even know how World War I started. We all know World War II. Few of us know World War I. This is how it began. In time, Russia declared war on Austria to support their Serbian brothers. Germany declared war on Russia. France then declared war on Germany. Germany declared war on their neighbors, Belgium, and that forced Britain to get involved, and Britain declared war on Germany. After Franz Ferdinand was assassinated, all in the matter of a few days, all of these declarations of war came to bear because one man was killed. It in time sparked a four-year war where historians estimate somewhere between 16, as high as 20 million people lost their lives. A primary reason why so many people lost their lives in this war was because of a tactic they called trench warfare. If you're not familiar with trench warfare, the opposing lines would establish their position. And to establish their position, they would dig a long hole in the ground, and then they would hide themselves in that hole, and they could no longer see the enemy eye to eye because they were down inside the earth. And then as they had established their position, they had dug themselves in, then they would hurl ammo at the opposing trench. Part of the reason why it was so devastating is because once a trench would be full of those that had been killed, they would take those bodies out, and then they put new life people in, and the cycle would continue going. But the battle lines very rarely actually moved in World War I, and so it just continued on. I'm hopeful that we can begin to start seeing some parallels to maybe what's happening even in our own lives today, not only here in America, but specifically in our homes and our families, some trench warfare that might be going on. And that's when a miracle took place. The first Christmas of World War I, something wonderful happened. They don't know exactly who it was, but somewhere on the Western Front, a soldier dropped their weapon, climbed out of their trench, and declared a ceasefire. They declared a ceasefire, and soon everyone began climbing out of their trenches, and they came together. They saw one another eye to eye. They began laughing together. They began sharing fruitcake together. They began playing games together. They played soccer, and they told stories, and they shared their traditions. It was really a wonderful occasion. So much so that when the fighting commenced the next day, history records that they actually had a hard time resuming the battle. Commanders would actually have to reassign folks and soldiers to other lines because they could no longer shoot at people they had just shared fruitcake with the day before. They now knew them. They had a name. They had a story. They had a history. They had friends and family back home, and they could no longer shoot at those people that they knew, even though they were supposed to be the enemy. In fact, a new rule was put into place thereafter called you could no longer fraternize. There was no fraternization with the enemy. You couldn't talk to him because you can't kill somebody that you know, right? Well, I think we find ourselves in a similar time today. Maybe it's not the same kind of war with the same kind of weapons, but we find ourselves often entrenched in a war in our hearts against one another. Republicans and Democrats, of course, we saw this week, and there can be battle lines racially in the world, and there can be parts of the country that are opposing one another, but it can also be happening across family lines, and it can be happening in homes today where those are just not getting along. They are entrenched in their position, right? We can dig ourselves in, and we no longer see the enemy eye to eye. We're just standing in our trench and hurling ammo in the other direction. Social media, of course, can be one of our greatest or maybe our most tragic weapons because we no longer see one another eye to eye, and we'll just tell that other person what we really think about them because there's not really a real person on the other side, is there? Or maybe there is. We find ourselves engaged in trench warfare. World War I began with a fringe terrorist group taking the life of one prince, and 4 years later, there were 20 million people that were gone, nearly an entire generation that had been wiped off the earth. Have you ever noticed that our anger often begins as a seed of offense? One seed of offense, and then it grows into a bitter root. A seed of offense that grows into a bitter root. You remember what they did. You replay it. You relive it. You even rehearse what you're going to say to them, because when the time comes, you're going to let them have it. And you're going to go to that Christmas party this year, right? And they're going to walk in empty-handed. You brought all the food, but what's going to happen? They're going to walk out with all the Tupperware, right? And like they're They're taking all the food home with them. And now you're going to let them have it. They've offended you for the last time. I had to laugh this week as I was writing this message. I noticed a bitter root that was starting to sink into my own heart. It, of course, snowed Sunday night, and it was quite beautiful. And I woke up Monday morning and was going out to shovel the sidewalks and the driveway like many of you. And I looked up, and I realized that when they plowed our street, we live at the end of a street, they had plowed the entire street into our front yard. And they not only dumped it into our front yard, they actually skinned the tree row. So, like, there's no grass there till June at best. Like, it's gone. And then they dumped about a 5-foot-high pile of snow on our sidewalk that's going to remain there until August. Like, it's not going away. And some of you, if you know my wife, you think she's cute and innocent and sweet and lovely. And those are all true. But when mama has something to say, she's going to say it, right? You all know what I'm talking about? And she looked at me. I came in. I told her. And she's like, you better call the town of Avon. This won't happen again. Gentlemen, when your wife looks at you that way, what do? You pick up the phone and you call, right? So very politely, I'm like, listen, we're here to love Avon. We're not here to fight with Avon. So I picked up the phone and I called them and said, hey, we've got a lot of retired folks in our neighborhood and they walk these sidewalks. That's not happening until summer because of this clump of snow that's in our front yard. And oh, by the way, you skinned our grass. And so maybe there's a better way to do this. Maybe there's a better way. That was Monday. Tuesday, I'm sitting in my office, and of course, it snowed again Monday night, right? I'm sitting in my office. My office looks out at this large clump of snow that's going to be there for the next several months, and then I see the plow coming, and I'm like, I know they got my message loud and clear. Like, they heard this. They're going to now change direction, and the plow comes, and he dumps right in the exact same location. And he doesn't do it once. He doesn't do it twice. Not three. I mean, like, 12 times. He brings the entire street and he dumps it in our front yard. And I wanted to go out and just give him a piece of my mind, right? Because this little seed of offense had now grown into a bitter root and I was going to let him have it. And I decided I better just keep it in and it wouldn't really do any good. Have you noticed that what starts as a seed of offense can become a bitter root and in time it can come out as a poisonous fruit? And we're going to tear people apart because of what has been happening on the inside of us. And listen, if we're not careful, we'll end up celebrating the love of Christ and Christmas while harboring hate inside of our hearts. And it not only hurts the people that we're angry with, but that bitter root, that poisonous fruit, kills us from the inside. And I want to suggest to us this Christmas that there's a better way. In fact, I would suggest that the Bible teaches us that while you cannot control what everyone is going to do to you, you can control how you respond. There is a better way to respond than just to allow this seed of offense to take root and then come out as a poisonous fruit. You can relive it, you can replay it, or you can learn to release it and allow the compassion and the forgiveness of Christ that you've received through Christmas to flood your own hearts. What I want to suggest to us this year is that this Christmas, you declare this Christmas, the Christmas truce of 2019, that those that you've been arguing with and fighting with and entrenched against, that maybe you'd come out of your trench and into this common ground, this no man's land, and discover that there's more that unites you than what separates you. In fact, that happened on Christmas Eve 1914. What they discovered, their common ground, is that they all had this desire to celebrate the birth of their Savior. Protestants, Catholics, German, French, British, it didn't matter. They all wanted to celebrate Christmas, and that united them. I wonder, maybe there's something to unite you this Christmas. I want to declare it the Christmas truce of 2019. You might be saying, well, what is a truce? If you've got your notes, you're welcome to write this down. Some of you might even have the Echo app, and you can write some notes there. It's simply this: when someone takes the first step to suspend the fighting, when someone takes the first step to suspend the fighting. And what I'm going to suggest is that maybe we should call on the church to come out of the trenches first, because Jesus has done so much for us. Why don't we come out of the trenches and declare a ceasefire and focus more on what unites us? Now, here's the reality. None of us like to come out of the trench first, right? Because if you come out first, what happens? You lose. And you're not going to come out first. You're not going to start the conversation because you're not wrong. they're wrong, right? Come on, come on. It's church, we can be honest for a moment. But what if? What if you allowed this Christmas to be a catalyst for peace? You allowed this Christmas to be an opportunity that you started restoring that relationship with a friend. You started restoring relationship with a family member. Husbands and wives coming back together again because of the joy and the hope and the forgiveness that we find in Christmas. I recently heard a story about a couple that was arguing. And in time, the arguing turned towards the silent treatment. You know what the silent treatment is? Like, somewhere along the way, you've recognized there's been a gap in conversation. And you cannot be the one to break the gap in conversation, because if you break the gap in conversation, you're conceding the fight. And you're not going to concede the fight, right? Well, in this particular argument, the gentleman had to get up early the next morning for a very early morning flight, and he wanted his wife's help in making sure that he woke up on time, and he needed to wake at 5 a.m., and he wasn't going to talk to her, right? Didn't want to break the fight, didn't want to break the silent stream, he wasn't going to lose, so he decided to write her a note and leave it on her nightstand. I have an early morning flight, would you please wake me up at 5 a.m.? The next morning, he wakes up, it's 9 a.m., he's mad as a hornet, he's missed the flight, he's probably lost the business deal, he's ready to let her have it, he turns over to his nightstand, and there is a note, beautifully written, it's 5 a.m., wake up. Listen, fellas, you're not ready for that fight. You're not ready for it. Listen, we can take the first step in our relationships because Christ has already stepped towards us. I got just three scriptures I want to share with us today, very briefly, and here's the first one. Paul says this, "For Christ himself brought peace to us." Peace to us. On the count of three, say peace really loud with me. You guys ready? Kids, you guys ready for this on the count of three? One, two, three. Peace. Peace. In the Bible, the word peace means more than just suspension in the fighting. It's not just the absence of war. Peace is actually the coming back together of all the broken pieces. What Paul's trying to say is that Jesus wants to bring peace into your life. He goes on to say this, "He united Jews and Gentiles into one people." Specifically, Paul is talking about these two groups that were hostile towards one another. But what we can learn from what the entire Bible says is that you can put any group, any two groups into that. You can put Republicans and Democrats. You can put husbands and wives. You can put friends. You can put whatever. Anybody that might be arguing with one another, entrenched in their position, you can put them in this situation, and Christ can unite them and make them one. Christ can bring peace into their relationship. It goes on to say this, "He did this in his own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." What does that mean? It means that Jesus got out of the trench and he stepped into the no man's land. Jesus took the punishment upon himself first so that you and I could climb out of our trenches and offer reconciliation. It goes on to say this, "Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross." Jesus brought us back to God, and it goes on to say, "and our hostility towards each other was put to death." Jesus brings us back to God and allows us to be reconciled to one another. He stepped into the war zone first. Somebody, listen, somebody must be willing to step into the war zone first. Drop the weapons, focus on what unites, and take the first step towards the truce. And like the men in 1914, you can be changed by this truce. You can actually walk away from this with long-lasting impacts on the relationship. But let's be honest, this is not what happens in the world. When we talk about conflict in the world, the world has a term for dealing with conflict. It's called conflict resolution. And in conflict resolution, you hash out the argument. You've had these resolutions before. You can go to court, and you hear from one side, and then you hear from the other side. There's litigation, and you hash it out, you talk it out in detail, because what happens at the end of conflict resolution? There's a winner and there's a loser, right? There's someone who's more right, there's someone who is more wrong. It never really gets resolved, but parties have to split ways and say, well, I guess you were more right. Conflict resolution is what World War I was. It started as a seed of offense and it grew into a poisonous fruit. 20 million people lost their lives. There's casualties in the process of conflict resolution. The Bible doesn't suggest conflict resolution. It actually suggests conflict reconciliation. Resolution and reconciliation are two very different things. In resolution, you hash it out, but reconciliation is quite different. Would you write this down if you have your notes? Reconciliation is simply this: to bring back together by bringing the balance to zero. So you're no longer looking at what did you do and what did I do and who's more right and who's more wrong. You're just saying we're both going to bring it back to zero. No one's right, no one's wrong. We're just going to come into this common ground together. We're going to drop the weapons. And if you think about it, this is exactly what Jesus did for us. When Jesus came into my life, he didn't come in and say, now we're going to hash out this mess. We're going to talk this through. I want to sit on the details. Listen, we'd be days on 2002 alone. We don't have time for that. No. Jesus comes in. And he says, I don't want to talk about your debt. I don't want to talk about your sins. I'm just going to take the punishment and I'm going to let you go free. It's conflict reconciliation. We can't resolve that conflict. Jesus comes back in and he brings our account to zero. On the cross, he says, I'm going to take all of your shame, all of your sin, and I'm going to take that punishment so you can be set free. We're not hashing it out. We're not talking it through. We're not talking about who owes who. It's conflict reconciliation. And in one more scripture here for you, it says this. When we get to an underlined part, I want you to read aloud with me, okay? Is everybody ready? When we get to the underlined part, read this aloud with me. All this is from God who reconciled. Let's go back and start that one more time. I think we can do better. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself. God's desire is for us to be reconciled with him. We can't stand in his presence with our sin. Now, the Bible says that all of us are sinners. Merry Christmas, you're a sinner, right? You know, aren't you glad you came here today? Listen, sin doesn't mean you're a bad person. What the Bible tries to communicate is when you sin, it's just that you're dead, meaning spiritually, you're dead. And what Jesus is doing is he's reconciling us to God. He's making our spirits come alive so we can be back in God's presence. And what Jesus does is he makes it possible for us to be with God. He reconciles us to God through Jesus. And it goes on to say, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So because of what he does for us, now we can be reconciled to one another. We can bring our accounts back to zero. It goes on to say this with me, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. How wonderful is that? You don't have to account for your debts before Jesus. You don't have to pay them. All you have to do is say, I'm going to receive your grace into my life. You don't have to pay for your debts any longer. And it goes on to say this, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Because of what Jesus does for you, you can drop your weapons and be reconciled to one another. Because he no longer holds his wrongs towards you. No. He drops them. You can drop the wrongs of others. You might be thinking, well, Chad, does that mean I've got to drop it? I've got to drop this situation. And my answer to that is simply, you can. You can drop the situation. You can resolve it, listen, and there's going to be casualties in the process. That doesn't mean there's not room for growth and understanding, maybe even counseling in the midst of a conflict. But you can never really resolve the conflict. Like, you can never really discover who was more right and more wrong. No. It can only really be reconciled where you bring the accounts to zero. You can only reconcile it. And you might be thinking, well, you don't know me. You don't know my past. You don't know my story. You don't know my husband. If you met my husband, we'd have a different story. And I would just suggest to you, maybe you're right. Maybe you can't do it, but maybe you could if. Maybe you could be someone who reconciles with others if God was working in your life in a powerful way. And in fact, listen, here at Echo, we don't invite people to church. We invite people into a process. Church is great, and we love gathering on Sundays, and it's a part of the process. But we invite people into a process called the Echo Steps. The Echo Steps. And what we say is this, unashamedly, we encourage folks, we say, give us a year of your life. Like literally, go all in with Jesus for an entire year and see what God can do. If you went all in, you held nothing back. You just went all in with God. I'm telling you, this time next year, you would be a completely different person. The person you long to be, that's the person you will actually become. In fact, we have a whole plan in the coming days and coming weeks to help you have your best year ever. What would it look like for you if you went all in with God? You held nothing back. In the Echo Steps, we encourage people to follow God daily, and we give you resources to do that. We encourage you to be in fellowship with others who are trying to walk closer to God. We even encourage people to join a serve team, because every single one of us was made to serve others. You're never fully alive until you're using your life to serve someone else. And so this is what the Echo Steps journey is. In fact, all month long in January, we're doing this class called Echo Steps. Happens right after the 10 o'clock service in January, every Sunday. We want to help you take your spiritual next steps. We have a plan to help you have your best year ever. Actually, it starts next Sunday. We're doing something we've never done before next Sunday. You might be thinking, well, what is that? I can't tell you. You got to come back next weekend. But I'm telling you, what we're going to do next Sunday is resource you to start your year better than you've ever started a year before. We're going to give you some tools to walk that out. We're not just going to stand here and talk, we're going to give you some really strong tools to walk it out. And then on January 5th, you heard it in the video, we're going to begin a new series called It's Time. Don't you ever feel like it's time? Like it's time to stop messing around, to stop playing, it's time to stop dipping your toes in the water with God and like jump all in? Like regardless of your frustrations or your disappointments of 2019, like what if you went all in with God in 2020? You gave him everything and held nothing back. What we know is if you do that, you'll have your best year ever. You'll learn to step into this full life that God has for you. And he's got something powerful for you. It's our heart to equip you that 2020 would be a year of reconciliation. That you bring your accounts to zero with God, but you also bring your accounts to zero with others. You experience the power that Jesus came to give us, this freedom that he wants every one of us to discover. As we close out, I simply want to give you one question, and then we're going to close with a scripture. And the question is this: where is God inviting me to be reconciled this Christmas? Where is God inviting me to be reconciled this Christmas? Let me make two suggestions. One, it might be you need to be reconciled with someone else. You might need to bring accounts to zero and stop holding something against them and allow that seed of offense that's turned into a bitter root to not come out as a poisonous fruit, but allow God to do some work in your heart and use this Christmas as a catalyst for peace with them. The second suggestion I have is this. Maybe you need to be reconciled to God. Maybe there was a time where you were following God passionately with everything you had, but if you're being honest, you've kind of swerved away from that. Or maybe you've never really had that opportunity to say, God, you get my all, and I'm going to jump all in with you. Here in just a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to do that. Listen, it's our heart. I said this at the beginning. I want to say it again. It's our heart not only to celebrate Christmas. We want to do that. But it's our heart that you would experience Christmas. That the hope and the love and the grace that Jesus came 2,000 years ago to give, that you would experience it today. Let me share one more scripture with you as we close out. It's the Christmas story. And in Luke chapter 2, Jesus is born, and there's some shepherds that are on a hillside, and an angel comes and speaks to them, and the angel says this: do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. I looked up the word all this week in the Greek. You know what it means in Greek? All. You're right. You guys are sharp. And I want to point that out because they're not just talking about people 2,000 years ago. They're talking about all people, which is you and me today. Listen to me. God wants you to experience great joy today. And if you feel like you are lacking joy this Christmas season, can I encourage you to be reconciled? Maybe there's a person. Maybe you need to bring your accounts to zero with God. But be reconciled. God wants you to have joy like you don't even know how to share. Joy unspeakable. Good news. It'll be great joy for all the people. It says this, verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly a great company of the heavenly host, there's armies of angels, appeared with this angel and praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest heaven. I want you to say this underlined part out loud with me. You guys ready? And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. God not only wants you to have great joy, he also wants you to have great peace. And if you feel like there's brokenness in a relationship, somebody you love, somebody that's offended you, God wants you to have peace. He wants to bring the brokenness into wholeness. If you feel like there's brokenness between you and God and you want a relationship with him, listen, today is the day. How do you become somebody on whom his favor rests? You simply be reconciled. There's a moment where you say to him, Jesus, I need you. And he comes into your life and you're no longer spiritually dead. You become spiritually alive. And what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago, you become forgiven and made new and begin a brand new life with him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that you invite us to be reconciled. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful picture that we get from over 100 years ago, where those who were least likely somehow became friends, were reconciled. And God, we're inviting you to come into our hearts today. Maybe if you have an offense against someone, right now in this moment, you would say, God, help me to be reconciled to them. Maybe as we're praying, you don't have to say it out loud, but just in your own heart, you'd say, God, I need help being reconciled to that person. And then would you just pray this simple prayer? God, with your help, I'm going to declare a truce. We're going to suspend the fighting. We're going to come back together and bring our accounts to zero. As we're praying, I would love to pray for one more group of people. With our eyes still closed for just a moment, maybe you're here today and you would like to be reconciled to God. Maybe you've walked away from him and today's the perfect day to open your heart back up to him, to begin following him with all you've got and discover your best year ahead. Maybe you've never had the opportunity to just surrender your heart and say, Jesus, I need you. I've been paying for my own sins, but I believe you died on the cross for me. You rose up from the dead so I could have new life, and today I want that new life. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come up front or stand up. But with eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God this Christmas and say, today's my day, Lord. I'm going to follow after you. Whether you're coming back to him, whether today's your first opportunity to surrender, on the count of three, if that's you, just decide right now. You're going to raise your hand up high. Today's the day you want to walk out of here with peace and joy made new. On the count of three, one, two, three. If that's you, just raise your hand high. It's wonderful. All over the room. It's wonderful. Just leave them up for just a moment. Anybody else? Today's your day. Put your hands down. And if you raise your hand, I'm going to invite you to say this prayer. You don't have to say it out loud, but just silently in your own heart. Would you say, Lord, thank you for loving me? Just tell him that. And say, this Christmas, 2019, I want to be reconciled to you. Would you just say this? Say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross to save a sinner like me. Say, I believe that when I confess you as my Lord and Savior, that my past is wiped away. I'm made wholly new. Your resurrection comes to live inside of me. Would you say this, Lord, I want to follow you all the days of my life. Would you give me the strength to do it? Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love. God, I pray that everybody in this room, as they flood out over the coming days into homes and parties and celebrations, Lord, would you make us part of your ministry of reconciliation to the world, that what took place 2,000 years ago would find its home in our hearts and through our lives. Coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, listen, we love to celebrate when folks are praying. And so whether someone prayed in their heart or raised their hand, we love to celebrate it. Come on, church, let's celebrate in a big way. Put your hands together.